Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So last night towards the end, I quoted a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shrinbatang Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Kriti Anta Stohi Abhadrani, Vidhunoti Suritsatam. This process of hearing about Krishna, this is the first item of bhakti, and it is very powerful. Spiritual life begins with hearing. You hear from sadhu, you hear from the shastra, you hear from your spiritual master. That is how you begin your spiritual life, by hearing. So, Shrinvatang Swakata Krishna Punya. This is the most pious activity you can do. There is no better pious activity than hearing or chanting about Krishna. Notice the verse specifically says Krishna. This verse is spoken by Suta Goswami to the sages of Naimisharanya in the second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridi Antasto Hi Abhadrani. Krishna is in your heart. We learn this from Bhagavad Gita. Five times it is stated that Krishna is in your heart. Everybody's heart. Whether you're a demon or not, Krishna is still in your heart. The only way a demon can be a demon is because Krishna's heart is telling him how to be a demon. And the only way we become a good person is because Krishna in the heart is helping you to become a good person. Krishna plays both sides. So, Hidi Antasto Hi Abhadrani. What is he doing? He's removing Abhadra. All bad things, inauspicious things. Krishna in your heart right now is removing that. Because you have agreed to hear about Krishna here this Sunday afternoon. You could be doing so many other things. But Krishna in your heart told you, go to the program. He told you, have the program. And you agreed. And Krishna told all of you, yes, go to the program. So because you agreed, Krishna is very happy with you. He's smiling at you right now inside your heart. Because you're hearing about him, he feels very nice. Oh, they're hearing about me. Oh, good. That's natural. If you find out, oh, everybody was talking about you, you're so wonderful, you're going to feel good. Hey, everybody likes me. So Krishna as a person, he likes when we hear about him. So right now, as a result, Krishna is removing abhadra, inauspiciousness from your heart. And the word vidhunoti, cleansing. He's cleansing your heart right now of all bad things. Suhritsatam, of those who are truthful, of those who are honest, those who are sincere. To the degree that you are sincere, Krishna will remove much more inauspiciousness and bad things. If you're very serious and sincere, then Krishna goes to work even more. But the fact that you've come and you're going to hear more about Krishna, very good. I applaud you. Rasaham Apsukanteya. Krishna says, I am the taste of water. So, the second story of Lord Brahma takes place after Krishna is married to only how many?
16,108.
That's all. Because Krishna is already in the heart of everybody. He's everybody's dearmost friend. Even if he marries 16 trillion, Krishna is unlimited. He's Ananta. So, Krishna is living in Dwaraka in his 16,108 palaces. And as I said yesterday, in the day, those 16,100 Krishnas would all meet at the gate. There was a gate that you would enter Krishna's area. So in the day, those 16,108 would all become one Krishna. And then Krishna would leave and then go to different places in Dwaraka, like the assembly hall. And this way, Krishna was living in Dwaraka. So once upon a time, Lord Brahma wanted to pay Krishna a visit, because at the very beginning, when the Krishna Leela is beginning, before Krishna has come, Mother Earth is crying. Mother Earth assumes the form of a cow and goes to see Lord Brahma. And she tells Lord Brahma, "I am overburdened. Kamsa and all of his allies, they have made a military-industrial complex. And I am feeling overburdened. Too much unnecessary military. Because Kamsa made an alliance with all the demons on the earth." So Mother Earth was feeling too much burden. So she went to Lord Brahma with tears in her eyes. And she was going to Lord Brahma to, "Please remove this burden for me." But Brahma could understand he was not capable of solving this problem. So he, Mother Earth and all the demigods, Lord Shiva, everybody, they went to the shore of the ocean of milk. And there they sang a particular prayer, Purusha Sukta, which is meant to invoke the blessings of Lord Vishnu. Because the shore of the ocean of milk, what color is the ocean of milk?
White.
And in that ocean is an island known as Shweta Dweep, a white island in a milk ocean. Not so easy to find. And that's where Lord Vishnu resides within the material world. So Brahma and the demigods offered Purusha Sukta, and then there was no response. So Brahma sat down for meditation, and he got a text message in his heart from Krishna, from Shirodakashai Vishnu, which he then related to all the demigods who had come. And that message was, "I am coming in my original form, and I will take care of Mother Earth's burden. I will destroy all the demons." And then the message also said all the demigods should expand themselves and take birth in Krishna's dynasty, the Yadu Vamsha, which they did, because the demigods are supposed to be Krishna's helpers, agents. So when Brahma got that message in his heart, he relayed to all the demigods, "We should all expand ourselves and take birth in Krishna's Yadu dynasty," which they did. So that is how the whole Krishna Leela begins in 10th canto. So now Krishna's in Dwaraka. Brahma decides to to come see Krishna, because Brahma's the one who called him in the first place. So, and Brahma is the topmost person in the universe, so seems natural he could come see Krishna, right? So he goes to see Krishna, and the doorman says, "Wait here, I'll introduce you." So the doorman goes to Krishna and says, "Lord Brahma has come to see you, my lord." And Krishna says, "Brahma, which Brahma? Find out which Brahma has come." So the doorman goes back to Brahma and says, "My dear lord, Krishna wants to know which Brahma has come." And Brahma says, "What? What are you talking about? I'm the only Brahma. What?" It's like, say you come in your house and your children say, "You have come. Which one?" You would think, "What's going on here? It's my house." You don't know a different, right? Right? So Brahma is a little perplexed. So Brahma says to the doorman, "Tell him Brahma, the father of the four Kumaras. Who else?" So the doorman goes back to Krishna and says, "Oh, it's Brahma, the father of the four." Krishna says, "Oh, okay, he can come and see me." So Brahma comes in and he's like, "What was this?" So Krishna is very cordial with Brahma. So Brahma says, "My lord, wait a second. Why did the doorman ask me which Brahma? Is there some other Brahma besides me?" So Krishna smiled. And immediately in the room, there were thousands of Brahmas. Some had, like our Brahma has only four heads. Some Brahmas had, one Brahma had 10 heads, 100 heads, 1,000 heads, 10,000. There were all these Brahmas with different numbers of heads. And the whole room was full of Lord Brahmas. And our Lord Brahma, who only has 4 heads, felt like a rabbit in the midst of a herd of elephants. Right? A herd of elephants and a little rabbit. That's how our Brahma felt. He felt very, very insignificant. And all the Brahmas, Krishna said to each of the Brahmas, "So, how is everything going on in your universe?" And the Brahma said, "By your mercy, Lord, we have no disturbance from the demons." And the Brahmas said, "Lord, why have you called us here?" And Krishna said, "I just wanted to see you." So then they all dispersed. None of the other Brahmas could see the other Brahmas. They all thought they were seeing Krishna privately. Our Brahma, the four-headed Brahma, was the only one who could see all the other Brahmas. Could you imagine walking into a room and seeing thousands of you? Huh? You think you're in some kind of weird dream. So Brahma, after this, Brahma said to Krishna, once again, "There are people who say they know everything about you. As far as I'm concerned, I don't understand a thing about you, Krishna. I don't understand anything." So Brahma was taught a very valuable lesson that we are not that important. Even we may be the creator of the universe, we may be the engineer of the universe. In the scheme of things, we're very insignificant. One time, my spiritual master was speaking with his leaders, of his temples and movement. So Prabhupada told them a story. He said, "Look up in the sky. There are thousands and thousands of stars, and there are so many planets, and there's one planet, planet Earth. Out of so many stars and planets, there's one little planet, Earth. It's not even the biggest planet. And on Earth, you have 7 continents. So there's one continent, Because Prabhupada was telling the story in Los Angeles, in his room, in his temple. So, there's one continent, North America. Here we are, we're in South America. So there's one continent on earth, North America. And in North America, you have Canada, United States, Mexico. Alright, you take one country, America. America has 50 states. Alright, we'll just take one state. California. Prabhupada didn't say it like that. I'm saying like that. California. The age of Kali. California is the state of Kali. So Prabhupada said, here in this California, there are many, 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 many cities. So there's one city known as Los Angeles. Okay. In Los Angeles, there are so many streets. Los Angeles is very broad. They say if you don't have a car in Los Angeles, you can't live. Because everything is spread out, you need a car to survive. Hardly people walk. Yeah, they do their walking in the morning, but everybody's got 2, 3, 4 cars. The kids got cars. Both parents have cars. That's how you survive in Los Angeles. So there are many, many streets in Los Angeles. And here we are on one street. The temple is on a street called Watsika Avenue. So on this Watsika Avenue, there are so many houses and apartments. And so many people. And here we are in one little room. And everybody is thinking, I'm so important. Well, think about it. You're only so insignificant compared to the whole rest of the scheme. You're only one person amidst so many. So that's why Lord Chaitanya advises us to always remain meek and humble. The success of spiritual life all begins with keeping oneself meek and humble. To be meek and humble means to think of oneself that I am nothing more, nothing less than the insignificant servant of Krishna. But although I am the insignificant servant of Krishna, Krishna still has agreed to be in my heart. And Krishna, just like, remember the cowherd boys, each of them were perceiving that Krishna was looking at him. So Krishna is capable of responding to each and every one of our desires and our love and devotion. He's capable of doing that. It's not that Krishna can't handle it. Krishna can handle everything and everyone. Why are you sitting? Come on, I gotta see you. I have to be able to see you. You can sit right here. You can sit with me. Everybody can chant the Maha Mantra one time.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
All right.